Good evening and welcome to the Chase Lounge. I'm your host, Chandra B. And as a therapist, I have been helping couples find their way back to love and each other for over 20 years. Join me and learn new ways to create, build, and renew the communication, connection, and commitment in your love life. Change starts with you. So come in and join the conversation. Good evening and welcome to the Chase Lounge. I'm your host, Chandra B, and welcome to episode 3 of A Fair Recovery. In this series, we will be again discussing whether or not a marriage or a relationship can survive an affair. And if so, what needs to happen in order for us to recover, repair, rebuild, restore the relationship. So in episode 3, we're going to be talking about the 3 R's, rebuilding, restoring, and recovering. In episode 2, we talked about the house of anger. And I want you to kind of think about, because predominantly when I worked with couples, most of the time, the individuals that came to me were women who had been faithful and their partner unfaithful, right? And so, and I began to notice that there was this pattern that kept creating or that I kept witnessing over time with many of the women that I worked with in various locations from New Mexico to England to Korea to Texas and even Atlanta. And so one of the things that I began to look at is the house of anger for women and what that looks like. If you think about the grief and loss process, right? And you talk about, you know, denial and bargaining or guilt and then depression and anger, and then finally getting to the point of acceptance. What I found, because in essence, we have to grieve the marriage, right? Because the marriage that we once had, the relationship that we once had is dead. It no longer exists. And so we go through a grieving process. And what I notice is that a lot of times women would get stuck in the house of anger. And that means that they basically could not let go, that they harped on the situation, if you will, rightfully so. Not saying that, you know, it's good or bad, just being able to say, this is a pattern that's developing. But what I found in working with women who got stuck in the house of anger is that the relationship continued to deteriorate as a result of that. And so I began to also look at men who were faithful and their wives being unfaithful. And again, we looked at the house of pride for men, which is not necessarily associated with the grief and loss, but it's still, they still have to go through the same kind of grief period. But pride is what would get stuck, where they would get stuck. It was where they wouldn't allow things to move forward. And so why can't someone let it go when it happens? And, you know, as we talked about in the last episode, basically everything they knew to be true no longer exists, right? How can I trust you with anything when you lied to me about everything? And so this is something that we have to explore with them in terms of helping them to get through and move from that stuck point. What we have to look at is reconciling what they believe with what they know. So look at the relationship. What areas are still viable? Which areas of the relationship are still solid? You know, you may believe that this person is untrustworthy and not worthy of your love and affection. But when you pull back and you step away from your anger, the emotions, What is it that you know to be true? And what is it that you believe to be true? And I always tell people, there's a difference between knowing and believing. You may know something, but believe something different. And so just keep that in mind as we continue to talk about that. It is important for the unfaithful to remain patient and open to discussion with regards to emotions and behaviors associated with the affair. You're tired of talking about it if you're the unfaithful partner. You're like, can we just move on? You said you forgave me. You said it's over. I told you it was over. You said you want to work on this. Why are we still harping on this? Why am I still a year later, 2 years later, still being punished for something that a mistake? And again, there's a lot of things that occur in the beginning stages. So if you aren't open as the unfaithful partner, if you are defensive, and we talked about this, if you're defensive, then it brings up doubt for the partner, the faithful partner. And so you have to look at where they are in this situation. And I also wanted to bring to the attention is that affairs can be only emotional as well. And those affairs can be very difficult for the unfaithful partner to understand why the hurt partner or the faithful partner is having such strong reactions. I never slept with the person. I don't understand why this is such a big deal. You know, we never slept together. It never went beyond basically a friendship. Why are you so upset? Why can't you just let this go? And part of that comes from the fact that it takes a lot to have that kind of emotional connection, intimacy with someone. That means someone was essentially replacing me. And so how do I let that go? How do I allow that? You know, I may be able to get over you having sex with someone, right? As a mistake, but how do you allow yourself to fall in love with someone? How do I get over that? You know? And so we have to think about from the hurt partner or the faithful partner's perspective is that this was not just a friendship. This was a replacement, right? This was someone that you deem worthy of replacing me. And so how do I trust anything that you have to say? Just like sexual affairs that carry on to being full-blown relationships, it's the same kind of thing. Now, this person is essentially taking your partner's place. And with that, right? So a lot of times what would happen in this beginning stage and what caused people to get stuck in the house of anger or the house of pride is that the unfaithful partner is often unwilling to cut off all contact with this person, especially when it's an emotional affair or emotions that are involved. They have a tendency to not want to hurt the other person as well. Now, I know you faithful partners and you hurt partners are thinking, well, hell, what about my feelings, right? And so they are caught in essence in this catch 22, which is not the faithful partner's responsibility to ease their discomfort. Essentially, it is the unfaithful partner's responsibility to the marriage and the relationship to end that relationship. That has to be done before the work can begin, before we can start rebuilding, restoring, and recovering, you must end that extramarital relationship. It has to be ended immediately in order for the healing to begin. If it lingers, right, what it leads to is a breach in trust over and over again. So how does the unfaithful partner let go of this person? So that has to be them. They have to do some soul searching. They have to decide what they value. Do they value their marriage and everything that comes along with it? Or do they value what they have begun to build with this new person? Is it worth giving up my family, my security, my comfort, everything that I know in order to take a risk on this person that was fully aware most of the time that I was married. So you have to ask yourself, as the faithful partner, as the person that has been cheated on, what are you willing to accept? What is right for you in terms of the limits that you put on? Do you give them time to end it? Do you wait around and see if they're going to be faithful and honest enough with you to end the relationship? What is it? What are the parameters? What are the boundaries that you now set with your partner in order to begin the healing process? Again, remember, this is a journey. This is not something that occurs overnight, right? It isn't like, okay, well, I'm going to end this affair and then me and you can go back to being how we were. No, sorry. It doesn't work that way. This is a journey to healing. And whether you remain in the relationship or not, you're going to have to do the work to get through it. Because what I don't want is for whether you end the relationship or you maintain the relationship, that you go into this with bitterness and resentment, because that will not serve anyone well in the end. So clearly, let's outline some discussion that has to be had with setting up. How do we begin this process? How do we get unstuck? How do we let things go so that we can begin to move forward? How do we set boundaries that are clear to our partner? How do we let, not allow our emotions to cloud our judgment when it comes to maintaining or ending our relationship? And so one of the things that I also find with individuals that get stuck in the house of anger or pride is that there's this conflict that occurs within the relationship related to privacy versus secrecy. And so in the next segment, I want to explore what is privacy and what is secrecy, and what role do they have in our relationship. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Good evening and welcome to the Chase Lounge. I'm your host, Chandra B. And as promised, we will be deep diving into infidelity and affair recovery. During the month of April, I will be releasing an episode every Thursday at 7 p.m. taking a look at the affair recovery process for those couples who are experiencing or have experienced infidelity within their relationship. We're going to look at from defining it to the gender differences, as well as the forgiveness and healing process. And so we are going to take a deep dive into this topic and explore what are the possibilities and what are the sticking points and when to walk away. Again, I'm your host, Chandra B, and let's get right into it. Welcome back. Again, I'm your host, Chandra B, and we are discussing affair recovery, and we're exploring what role does privacy and secrecy play in your relationship after an affair. So, what exactly is the unfaithful partner entitled to? Are they entitled to privacy? Or is any act of privacy viewed as secrecy once you have been unfaithful? And you know, this is something that comes up often in couples counseling, is that many times the faithful partner believes that if you have violated the relationship, you have also violated your right to privacy, that you have given up your fundamental right to privacy as a result of having an affair. And so I ask you, what do you think? Do you think it's okay to still have privacy when you've been unfaithful? Do you think that it's wrong to have privacy? Do you see privacy and secrecy as the same thing? And that's the question, honestly. When we think about our marriage, when we think about oneness, and when we think about relationships, we have to be interdependent as well as independent, right? Individuation, I think, is what they refer to it as. But what I want you to think about is that we can be one, but we should also, our oneness should not mean that I no longer exist as a result of being a part of this union. I still need to be myself, and you still need to be yourself. This is going to be important when we're talking about reconnecting with each other, as well as having discussions around privacy versus secrecy. So let's look at it for a minute. What is it, or what do you consider privacy? Again, privacy is that right that each of us are entitled to. We are free to have our own thoughts, codes, as well as private time. And so let me sit here for a second. One of the biggest arguments that I have to referee in couples counseling is that I should have access to my husband or wife's phone. I should be able to, you know, there should, I should, we should share codes and things of that nature. Anything that's his is mine. Anything that hers is mine, so on and so forth. There should be no secrets between us. And I totally agree. There should be no secrets between you. But I don't agree that you should have all my pins and codes to my phone, my iPad, my computer, my safe, you know, whatever. I don't think that you should have everything that I own, you should also have access to. Everything that is private to me and who I am is not necessarily yours to know, right? Now, let me caveat that by saying this. If what I am keeping private would hurt you or make the relationship change, then it is probably something that I should share, right? And that right there is kind of a rule of thumb when you're looking at private. But if what I'm sharing or what I have that's private and allows me to still be me is not necessarily something that you should have access to. So what is secrecy? Secrecy is the act of intentionally hiding something because you fear that it will hurt or change the relationship, or that you are ashamed. You're ashamed of it, that it will bring you some level of shame if it was discovered. That's secrecy. So affairs are generally secret. It's not something that we share or want known. It's something that we intentionally hide from the one that we care about, or many other people as well. Where privacy is like that I don't have to be in observed by everyone or everything. It's something that only I am privy to, if you will. Now, again, this is it seems like a very fine line, and I get it. I do. But one of the things that I challenge couples is that when we talk about privacy versus secrecy, is that just because you had an affair and we decide to work on this relationship does not mean I am no longer entitled to my privacy. Does not mean that I have to share my phone code with you. Now, let me extend this example. One of the things that I share with couples is this. because the phone and social media is the biggest thing that couples trying to recover from an affair typically argue and fight over or struggle in terms of rebuilding and restoring their relationship. So partner A is the unfaithful one. Partner B is the faithful one, the one that's hurt by the affair. So partner A has a cell phone and has a code. And partner B is saying, what's your code? And partner A is like, you don't need to know my code. Yes, I do. No, you don't need to know my code. Why should I give you my code? Well, because I need to know what you have in your phone. Okay. I can show you what's in my phone, but you don't need to have my code. Well, so if you won't give me your code, you must be hiding something. No, just because I'm not giving you my code doesn't mean I'm hiding something, right? It's my right, right, to have privacy. I don't have to give you my code. Now, because I have been unfaithful, partner A, I am willing to open my phone and give you free access to it. Partner B, well, I think I should have the code so I could check it whenever I want to. Well, if you tell me you want to check my phone, anytime you want to check my phone, I'll open it and I'll give it to you. But why don't you just give me the code? Because my code is private. It's for me to know. We're not supposed to share our private codes, right? So, and I'm dragging this out because I want you to understand the point. So, because what happens, right, is this. The partner B, the hurt person, believes that they're entitled to secrecy because of feeling hurt. What I find often is that partner A goes take a shower, partner B opens up the phone using the code and goes through the phone. That's secrecy, isn't it? Because if you wanted to go through partner A's phone, why not just say, hey, while you're in the shower, I'm going to go through your phone. Well, that would let them know and they would delete it. They're going to delete anything anyway. What I'm trying to get you to understand, partner B, is that if someone is going to cheat and continue to cheat and be unfaithful, that is something else. That's a whole nother issue that we'll deal with in episode 4. But if you are trusting that this relationship is worthy of saving, then the trust has to be done on both ends. Well, I never violated their trust. I wasn't the one that cheated. No, you may not have been the one that cheated, but you still have to hold yourself accountable to the same, you know, code that you expect the unfaithful partner. So how is it that you get to violate privacy and violate and become secretive, but you expect honesty and forthright and upfront from the unfaithful partner? We cannot play by two different rules. I understand that you're hurt. I get it. But you also have to follow the same guidelines that you set for the unfaithful partner. You also have to follow those guidelines. So if we are entitled, if you're entitled to privacy, then I'm entitled to privacy. But regardless, if you don't want privacy, that's your choice. If you want to give me all your codes, that's fine. I'm not requiring it. I'm not asking for it. And I'm not giving mine. Even if I was unfaithful, I will allow you to look at my phone or my computer or whatever you want to, whenever you want to. But I do not have to give up my right to privacy because you're hurt. And I know that's hard to swallow for many of you that's listening to this. But many of you who have been cheated on and who have been the victim in this situation feel like you have the right to go through someone's phone without their knowledge. How is that any different than them with intentionally withholding something from you? It's not. And honestly, it builds up false hope. Because again, if someone wants to cheat, they're going to do it. There's nothing you could do. You can have access to all of the codes. You can be, you could, you know, share Facebook. You can do all of the things that you think that you're doing to save or to prevent an affair from occurring. And guess what? An affair can still occur. And you know why? Because having access to everything is just a false sense of security. That's all it is. And maybe it makes you feel good in the short run, but in the long run, it doesn't build trust. It doesn't. And so you have to recognize what is healthy for you in this relationship. You have to decide what you need to know versus what helps to know versus what is nice to know. So what is it that I need to know, right? I need to know things about our shared finances, our family, your health, any of those kind of things. It helps to know some of your childhood, you know, concerns, issues, traumas that you may have experienced or young adulthood. It's nice to know how your day was, who you talked to every day, what you did in, you know, while you were at work. It's not a must know, you know, or every detail about every friend that you make or every person or acquaintance you come by. That's a nice to know, not a need to know or a helps to know. So when you're stuck in the house of anger or pride, you violate the right to privacy. You create barriers to building trust and delay the forgiveness process, right? And that's both partners, right? If you are the unfaithful partner and you refuse to allow them to go through your phone because you feel like that is a violation of your privacy after having an affair, I have some concern about that, because what is it that's in that phone that you don't want your partner to see? If you open it up, delete a bunch of stuff and then hand it to me, again, that's demonstrating that you are not trustworthy, if you will. And that's going to delay the forgiveness process, or it is enough information to determine whether or not this relationship is salvageable. So again, let's look at how do we begin building trust and exploring what the forgiveness process looks like in the next segment. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. The Chase Lounge is always looking for guests or topics. So if you would like to be a guest or you have a topic you would like to hear discussed, please email me at stormcommunications2019@gmail.com. And again, always speak your truth, and thank you for listening. Now back to the show. Welcome back. This is your host, Chandra B, and let's look at two sides of the same coin, trust and forgiveness. You cannot have forgiveness without trust, and you cannot begin to rebuild trust without forgiveness. So that's why it's the two sides to the same coin. And I don't want to spend a lot of time exploring trust and forgiveness, because if you go back through some of my previous episodes entitled Trust and Forgiveness in season one and in season, three in the F series, I talk with Dr. Tina about faith, fidelity, and forgiveness. And so those are some episodes, if you want some more in-depth conversation about trust and forgiveness, that I encourage you to go back and explore. But in this episode, when we're talking about affair recovery, I'm truly wanting you to understand that those two things, trust and forgiveness, are two sides of the same coin, that they are interdependent upon each other. In order for me to begin my forgiveness process, I have to have some level of trust, you know, to be able to say, I trust you with my feelings again. I trust you with some level of responsibility when it comes and accountability when it comes to this marriage or relationship. I trust that you ended the extramarital affair. I trust that you're going to do the work to make this marriage work, right? So again, the word trust is easy to say, harder to do. Same thing with forgiveness. In order for us to begin walking down the path of forgiveness, man, that's not an easy thing. But forgiveness is what allows us to build trust. I have to no longer, when I say to you, I forgive you, I have to no longer hold it against you. Right? So those individuals that are stuck in the house of anger are still holding it against you. They're still in the mode of punishment. Right? And I have to tell couples all the time, you don't have the authority to punish your partner. There can be consequences for behavior. Consequences are natural. Punishment is something else. And so you don't have the right to punish your partner. And if we can get out of that, right? So the consequence of you having an affair is that I no longer trust you, that I see you differently, that our relationship is broken and we have to, you know, start anew. Those are consequences that we have to rebuild, restore, and recover from. But punishment is mistreatment, maltreatment. And that's not acceptable if the two of you have agreed to work on this relationship. And so we have to look at, am I truly in a place of forgiveness? Forgiveness is not easy. So what I want you to do is think about, what areas can the unfaithful partner still be trusted with? Are they still responsible enough to pick up the kids? Are they still responsible enough to pay the bills? Are they still, you know, are you still trusting them in that? Are you still trusting them to be where they say they're going to be and do what they say they're going to do, right? As the unfaithful person, what steps are you taking to rebuild trust? Are you making sure that you are consistent in your behavior? Are you making sure that you are honest and forthright with information? Are you doing the things that would allow your partner to begin to trust you again? Forgiveness is not an easy task. It is a process. And so what happens a lot of times, not just in affairs, but in any betrayal of trust that may occur in a relationship, any disappointment, is that people have a hard time with forgiveness because they feel like forgiveness sometimes demonstrates weakness. That if I forgive you, then, and I don't punish you, if I forgive you without punishment, then that means you'll do this to me again. So I must punish you so that you understand that this is unacceptable. Okay, not necessarily the best route. Again, there are natural consequences. The relationship is forever changed. That's a consequence of your betrayal. The relationship is forever changed. We can no longer ever go back to what we were before. We have our history. Now we have to build anew. So if you listen to my episode on marital preparedness, it's that storm, it's that hurricane, you know, that comes in and tears the house apart, right? Because that's what an affair does. That's what any traumatic event does, right? It comes in and it tears it up. And so we have to look at each other and say, okay, is this house worth saving or should we walk away from it? You know, if we're going to save it, How much work are we willing to put into it? You know, what are we going to do with all this stuff that's left? Are we going to chuck it? Are we going to salvage what we can and build from there? What is it? But you have to rebuild, because you cannot live in the house that a tornado or a hurricane has gone through without repairing it. And so that's the same thing with your marriage or relationship if a affair occurs. You have got to take stock and say, okay, take an inventory of what is still worthy of saving, what needs to be replaced, what needs to change, what needs to happen, and how do we begin to rebuild and restore this home, this relationship. One of the things that I urge the faithful partner or the hurt partner is to understand that forgiveness is about you as much as it is about the other person. What forgiveness does for you as the hurt partner or the faithful partner, it allows you to begin to let go. It allows you to be happy and free again. It allows you to lift that anchor so that your ship can continue to sail. And that means in this relationship or outside of this relationship. But when we hold on to something, it diminishes us. It takes hold of us. It becomes what we, you know, live, breathe, and eat. And so we lose ourselves in it, is what I'm trying to say. And so I urge you as the hurt partner or the faithful partner to begin the forgiveness process. And it's not about punishment. There are natural consequences to actions. And that means that the person that was unfaithful has to suffer those consequences, whether that's going to counseling to figure out what's going on, whether that means that, you know, they have to spend a great deal of time rebuilding trust. They have to put in the work, you know, but it's not just them. Both of you have to put in the work, because remember, marriages, when affair occur, an affair is just the symptom. It is not the cause. Understand that this process does not occur overnight, that we have to take baby steps, if you will, because there will be times that you think you're doing great. The relationship, you guys are talking, you're doing things, everything's kind of moving forward, you're reconnecting, you're enjoying each other's company, and then a song will come on, or you're watching a movie, or you go to a particular place, or something will trigger you. I'm talking about the faithful person or the hurt partner. And it will take you back, maybe two or three steps. And you will want to punish the person. You'll want to throw it back up in their face. And I urge you not to do so. Instead, I encourage you to do this. Hey, I know we're doing good. I know we're working on this. But, you know, again, this is a process. And today, when such and such song came on, it reminded me of the affair. And I'm struggling today. I would ask that, you know, you give me some space, because I need that right now. I need you to let me, you know, think through this, because I don't want to mistreat you, but I've been triggered, and I need to process this and what this means to me. So you have to be open and honest about that. And as the unfaithful partner, you have to be understanding. You have to be in a point where you're saying, okay, I get it. And thank you for sharing that with me, because it helps me to understand that this is a process, and that, you know, we're going to take it step by step, and that there's going to be days that we're doing really well, and there's going to be days that we're not doing so well. And that helps me to understand that we will get through this, you know. But the unfaithful partner, if you're saying, why are we still talking about this? I thought you said you forgive me. If you forgave me, then why are we still going through this? Because anything can trigger that trauma, right? And I'm telling you, you'll think you're doing well, and you are. I'm not denying that the progress is being made. What I'm saying is that it's okay. Sometimes we have setbacks, lapses, you know, things of that nature. So we have to be able to verbalize that, especially when we're struggling, because otherwise you continue to create this animosity and conflict in the relationship that can further damage the healing process or the relationship altogether. So resentment, contempt, all of these things can begin to surface as a result of the affair, or you triggering and not being honest about it. And there's this punishment, privacy versus secrecy, you know, being stuck in the house of anger, all of these things. If they're not managed well, if they're not discussed, if they're not talked about openly and honestly as a couple, then you can really struggle in the healing process. And so again, trust and forgiveness is two sides of the same coin. And so I want to say this to finish this segment is that as the unfaithful partner, anytime, and I mean anytime, you engage in behavior that is similar. It doesn't have to be the same. It can just be similar to that of when you were having an affair. You can hinder the trust building and forgiveness process. You can set it back. So, you know, whatever those behaviors were, you know, only you and your partner know what those are. So it could be coming home late, vague excuses. It could be any number of things that you're doing or did during the affair time frame. And if you engage in anything that's similar to that, it's going to be difficult for your partner to continue to have trust in you. So it hinders that trust building and forgiveness process. So not answering my phone, my phone calls, whatever it is that was going on. So you all know what I'm talking about. Those are things that you need to discuss and kind of lay out. Like this is what I noticed when I, you know, because hindsight is 20/20. These are the things that I noticed that you did when you were having an affair. These are the things that, you know, I need you to rebuild trust with me in. And you guys discuss that, lay it out on the table and begin the building blocks for restoring and recovering that relationship. So some of the things that I want to point out to you too, is that in this process, it is going to be really important to be self-aware. So aware of your thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and why you have those thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, as well as being vulnerable, being open to discussing the stuff that's not easy to talk about. Allowing yourself to be vulnerable and showing vulnerability is not always easy. But when we're talking about restoring this relationship, we really got to look at self-awareness and vulnerability. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. If you're interested in being a sponsor or would like to advertise on the Chase Lounge, please email me at stormcommunications2019@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. And now back to the show. Welcome back. I'm your host, Chandra B. And let's get naked, right? Let's figure out how to become vulnerable again. Let's talk about whether or not you are building walls or tearing them down in this relationship. It is too easy for the hurt partner to begin to build a wall. And in honesty, they feel justified in building this brick wall because they've been hurt. And it is likely that this is not the first time that they've been hurt by their partner or previous partners. And so that wall begins to erect. It begins to brick by brick, right? And I'm asking you to be vulnerable, to say, hey, I'm struggling today. You know, when you didn't answer my call, it just put me in a bad mood. And, you know, it's not that I don't believe that you're doing, it's not that I believe you're doing anything, but it's just like, it felt like a slap in the face, you know? And I know, you know, you may be at work, this, that, and the third, but it hurt. And so, you know, rather than, you know, be quiet and not say anything, I'm going to tell you how I feel. And you don't have to say anything back. I just need you to know that it hurt me today when you did X, Y, and Z. Wow. Can we be vulnerable like that? Are we allowing ourselves to be that kind of vulnerable? And as the unfaithful partner, you know, when you dismiss how I feel, when you dismiss and say that if I hadn't had an affair, you know, everything would be great. When you say that you had no role in where this relationship is, that it's all my fault, you know, I take responsibility for being and doing the wrong thing. I take responsibility for my actions hurting you, but I cannot take responsibility for the entire state of our marriage. And you have to be able to be vulnerable enough to share that. Not just those things, but anything. It, you know, because again, we're talking about how do we rebuild and restore this relationship? Like, again, it's forever changed. So why not do things differently? If you guys were reserved and did not share your emotions or your feelings or your thoughts with each other, and you held on to that, but you allowed resentment and discontent and contempt to build, why not do something different if you want this relationship? So why not allow yourself, expose yourself to vulnerability, intimacy, emotional connectedness? Because this is what's going to help the relationship get through those rough patches, right? This is what's going to allow us to begin to take down the walls between us. But we also have to make sure that we're not doing this blindly. So in no way, shape, or form am I asking you to trust someone fully and completely after an affair. That is, again, that trust has to be earned. It has to come with consistent, reliable, dependable behavior, right? Your words, your deeds need to match. And if not, then it becomes in question and I need to hold you accountable. And that's both parties, not just the unfaithful partner, but both parties. Because all too often, the hurt partner, the faithful partner, doesn't feel like they have to be accountable for their actions anymore as a result of the affair. And again, that just creates more problems in the relationship. And so we have to be self-aware. What is it that I'm engaging in that supports this relationship? What is it that I'm doing? What behaviors, what thoughts, what actions, what connections am I doing that supports this relationship? What behaviors do I engage in that creates problems for this relationship? What things am I doing, and this is both partners, that creates confusion, conflict, disconnect with my partner in this relationship? Am I able to verbalize my thoughts, feelings, needs, desires, fears, disappointment with an open dialogue? is it safe for me to share what I'm feeling and thinking? Or am I dismissed, invalidated, taken for granted? And that's both partners. So these are things, these are the kind of conversations that we have to talk about. That's why I said you got to get naked, right? You got to start taking off all of the layers. You're going to have to get to the heart of the matter. You're going to have to get in there and figure out what's going on. What's working? What's not working? What we can do differently? Because we, if we want this relationship, have to do things differently. Because what we had been doing isn't working. And this is not to lay blame on any, well, definitely not to lay blame on the faithful partner. So in some instances, you may have been doing all the right things, if you will, or attempting to do all the right things. And an affair may still occur. And it happens. But then you have to ask yourself, is it the relationship or is it the person? Is what going on a matter of poor judgment or poor character? And if it is poor character, it is unlikely to change. And so you have to think about, am I married to, am I in a relationship with someone that is considered a serial cheater? Someone that's always doing it and always sorry for doing it, but seems like they cannot control their behavior. And you have to ask yourself, whether you are the faithful or the unfaithful partner, is this worth saving? One of the things that I talk about in the affair proofing guide is the idea of, are you in this relationship out of obligation or desire? And what I tell people is that there's a difference between obligation and desire. Most of us want to be desired. Most of us don't want you obligated to us. Now, obligation and loyalty are two different things. Obligation is more of a, can be seen a lot of times as more of a burden, if you will, than a pleasure. Where desire is like, I wake up, I want to be here. I love being here with this person. This is where I want to be. This makes me grow. This makes me happy. Obligation is, we have kids, we have house responsibilities. This is what responsible people do. And so because I'm a responsible, mature adult, I feel obligated. I said I do to death do us part. And so I will be here until death do us part. But you're not doing the work to make the relationship desirable. And when someone is not feeling desired, what do you think might happen? They will seek it out somewhere else. It's just a fact. Whether it goes to the physical realm of having sex with someone may not happen, but they will seek out, they will be drawn to someone that desires them. Also, in that, we talk about in the affair proofing guide, we look at whether or not you are addressing problems as a team or as competitors. So it's always hard to explain to couples how to be a team when it comes to problems. An affair is a problem. So yes, that partner may have been in alignment with the problem, but as a couple, you have to be on the same team. So it has to be you and your partner against the problem, whether that's finances, discipline of children, or an affair. It has to be the two of you against the affair, against the financial issues, against the discipline issues with children, against the in-laws, whatever it is. It has to be the two of you as a team against the problem. If you are in competition with each other, you're already on the opposite sides. And what I need you to do is be on the same side. So once you've answered the hard questions and increase your awareness, then it's decision time. And we will cover that in episode 4. Piss or get off the pot. It is time to make a decision. Am I going to stay in this relationship and work for it? Or am I going to leave? Am I going to walk away? And so when we get to episode 4, we will discuss whether or not to stay and or leave. So thank you again for joining me in discussion of the Affair Recovery series. And always speak your truth. Hey, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for spending your time with me and keeping me company. If you have a topic you would like to suggest, please email me at stormcommunications2019@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the conversation, please share with your friends and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchasers, or on my website. And remember, always speak your truth.